Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Had to let the base play. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Joined now by our buddy Chris Lowe, National College Football Insider for ESPN. Chris, you see the Scorps live in 85 like I did?
No, but that sounded like, as you brought me in, Mickey, that sounded like you on the base. Is that right?
Yeah, I could actually play these notes. That guy, Francis, was not known as a very technical bass player. So, yes, any and all of those notes I could have played. This is one of the greatest things ever. I'm tipping my cap to the Pac-12, Chris. We're saying, you know what, we'll play on Friday night. We'll be the only game in town. We'll have a bunch of eyeballs on us, and we'll showcase our game. I'm excited about this game tonight.
Well, me too, because you're right, and they're smart to do that because they get everybody watching. You know what the best thing about it is for old guys like me is I don't have to stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning to watch it.
I know. We were talking about that. I mean, that's phenomenal. So not, 7 o'clock
not
on ABC.
How old people are, but yeah.
Yeah, Utah, a 6.5-point favorite over Oregon, and Chris – they need to win, certainly, but they may need to win big.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are sleeping on Utah, and they're a pretty complete football team. Kyle Whittingham is always out there in that league, and I've had a chance to talk to him. I've gone out and watched him play a couple times. They've been consistently as physical as anybody in the Pac-12. They've been able to run the football. They're good on defense. They tackle well. What is winning big or winning impressively? I don't know. The first thing they got to do is win. And I understand if it comes down to a beauty pageant between them and say Oklahoma for that fourth spot. You know, Oklahoma's got Jalen Hurts. Oklahoma scores a lot of points. Lincoln Riley's sort of a hot name, and I get all that. I don't know in that room though among the committee that all that really plays. I've had a chance over the last week or two to talk to some guys who've been on that committee over the last few years and sort of what's real and what's not. You know, the thing that the former coaches do, and this is the thing that I get consistently, especially the former coaches that are on that committee, is they look at teams like they're looking at tape, like they're getting ready to play those teams. Who do I least want to play right now? You know, which team is the strongest? Which team's the healthiest? Who's good in the defensive line? Who's got a difference maker quarterback? All the things you would look at as a head coach if you're getting ready to play a football team. And that's why I think Utah, if they can win, you know, I don't know, I don't think it's necessarily as cut and dry. A lot of people think that if Oklahoma also wins, that Oklahoma's going to pass them.
Chris Lowe, our guest. Talk about this. You're talking about who would pass who. Oklahoma and Baylor, obviously, by the time they kick off, they will know what happened tonight. If Oregon wins, then they both know, okay, son of a gun, one of us is about to probably make this thing. Do you think Baylor, if Utah, let's say, doesn't win, or even if they do, is there anything Baylor could do to actually finish this thing in the top four?
Well, I mean, if they beat Oklahoma, first of all, that's the first thing that's got to happen.
Right.
And then hope Utah gets beat, then, yeah, I think there's an argument at that point that they could get in. I mean, what happens in other leagues, I mean, that's assuming LSU beats Georgia. Obviously, if Georgia beats LSU, then I think it's pretty cut and dry that the SEC is going to get two in. Georgia's going to get in, LSU's going to get in.
Yeah.
You know, what happens in the Big Ten game? You know, does Ohio State win, or do they get upset? I mean, there's still some ifs and whats, you know. I don't think it's out of the question. I think it would probably be a long shot for them to get in. But if they beat Oklahoma and Utah loses and LSU wins, then all of a sudden maybe it gets a little interesting.
Mm. Well, we'll see what happens with all that, but what about the game itself, CeeLo? Do you think Baylor has a shot? I mean, they got to be looking for some revenge after that big comeback Oklahoma had a couple weeks ago.
Well, yeah, they got a shot. I mean, they had Oklahoma dead to right the last time, and Oklahoma had to have a comeback for the ages.
Yeah, ask Atlanta Falcons about 28-3 at the half, right?
Yeah, I mean, they had, you know, the Sooners had to engineer a comeback for the ages to win, so sure. I mean, so they know they can play with this team, and they know they can score points on them. You know, they just got to figure out a way to finish the game. That's what they didn't do the last time. I tell you, Baylor, Matt Rhule, what he's done at Baylor, don't know if you guys saw the piece. It was a video of him talking about what they're looking for and sort of what their identity is at Baylor on social media this week. It was outstanding about what he's looking for in a player, the kind of program he wants to develop. But they played better defense there and just been a much more complete team. You know, we're so used to Baylor over the years. You know, certainly when they were, you know, when Browse was there, they were scoring, just outscoring people. The track meet every game. But Baylor under Rule has been a much more complete team, much more complete program, and playing better defense. So, yeah, I think that, you know, you want to be able to keep Hurts off the field, you know, and clearly that's easier said than done, and keep that offense off the field. So keep the football, maybe run a little bit, you know, get some stops on third down. But I think that's key, because if you get into a scoring match with these guys, I'm talking about the Sooners, that's, you know, it's risky business there.
Chris Lowe from ESPN.com, at CLowe ESPN. Chris, I'm curious what you think about Memphis and Cincinnati round two, playing in back-to-back weeks.
You know, I think for Memphis, it's a little bit dicey proposition, because you never want to have to play a team twice. It seems like they just, you know, that's tough to beat any team twice, but Cincinnati's a good football team. And then all the things circulating about Norvell. See, I think Norvell is the leader at Florida State. In fact, okay, I think that's probably who they're going to hire.
I had a little bird tell me the same thing a couple of days ago.
Yeah, when it gets right down to it, I think that's sort of where they've been. That's where they've been now for a while. And it makes sense, because Florida State's got to have somebody come in there and get them back offensively to have a pulse and to score points. And you look at the explosive offenses that Mike has put on the field at Memphis and the way they've scored points and just how entertaining they've been on offense. They're a fun team. I don't know how many people have really watched them play. I've had a chance to watch them play. It was there live to see them play a few years ago when they beat UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I told you guys that story. They sent me out there to do a story on Josh Rosen. And guess what?
Memphis happened.
Memphis ends up winning the game. I told Norvell that story. He loves that story. But they're a lot of fun to watch play. They're entertaining. He's done it with different types of players, different types of quarterbacks. Look at the players who've come through there that have been record-breaking type performers at receiver, at running back, who weren't necessarily that highly recruited, but in his system, in the way he's developed players, and the way they play offense, they put up just astronomical numbers. So I think he makes a lot of sense at Florida State. But getting back to your original question, how good is that for Memphis? How much of a distraction would that be for the players, knowing that their coach is probably on his way out, because he's going to get a job somewhere. I mean, he's just too good a coach and done too much there. I don't think that's ideal. And again, having you couple that with the fact that having to beat Cincinnati a second time, that's never good.
The other thing the little birdie told Mickey was not that he'll get the job necessarily, but that he would be in the mix. Don't be surprised, Hugh Freeze at Memphis.
Yeah, and again, that's, you know, Hugh's got ties there at Memphis, and you know, Liberty is working on a new deal to try to keep him there.
Yeah,
it would make him one of the higher paid Group of Five coaches in the country. You know, Hugh's done a really good job there. I know a lot of people ridiculed him and laughed at him at the start of the season for he was coaching in a hospital bed and a dental exam chair. I can tell you what that did for people inside that program, though, and his players, is you look at the way that team has responded to him and seeing their coach's commitment. I mean, he didn't miss a game, and they knew he was in pain, and they knew what the narrative was out there. And let's be honest, you know, Hugh has been his own worst enemy. Some of the things that happened with Ole Miss, with NCAA violations, and then, you know, the call to the escort service. But, you know, he's apologized and said over and over again that he was wrong and asked for forgiveness. And all he's done at Liberty is go in there at a place in its first year of eligibility and get that school to an FBS bowl for the first time. So I think the guy clearly can coach. He can recruit. He's the guy that gets players to play well and connects well with players. He's going to get another shot somewhere, and he deserves another shot.
Chris, you still hearing Gator, Outback, maybe a little Music City Bowl with Tennessee?
Yeah, and probably in that order.
Yeah.
The way you just outlined it, Brent, I think Gator makes a lot of sense in Jacksonville. You know, wherever Tennessee goes, they're going to take a ton of fans, because this is a fan base that's fired up about seeing this team play again. They're fired up about the trajectory they're on and seeing the way they improved. Because you look back, I mean, if we had a time capsule right now and go back to our conversations on September, imagine that, go back to our conversations we were having on September 5th about this football team in this season, and then fast forward to where we are now and what we're saying about them.
Yeah.
Nobody would believe it. That's how far they've come, but that's how bad they were and how ill-equipped they were in that first game against Georgia State. I think it says a couple things. Jeremy had a steep learning curve as a head football coach, and how much he's learned and how much he's evolved and how much he's been able to connect with this football team and get them to believe, because they're a much different team and a much better team, especially in the line of scrimmage than they were at the start of the season.
Hey, we're all up against this break, and JT's going to yell at me for asking one more question. But Lane Kiffin to Arkansas, how much smoke is there to that fire, or fire to that smoke, I should say?
Oh, and I know I don't want to get on JT's bad side.
Yeah.
So I'll answer this very quickly. I think there's a very, very good chance that Lane Kiffin will be back coaching in the SEC next year. If not Arkansas, maybe Ole Miss.
Lane Kiffin in the Grove. Boy, that'd be something.
Wow. I love it.
We all want that for what we do. It would sure make our lives a lot more fun. Thank you, Chris. Great stuff as always, man. Enjoy the games tonight and tomorrow.
I will. Catch up with you guys soon.
Yes, sir.